Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tuttle. Thank you very much. It is such a joy to have Wes and the music that man can play, setting the scene, setting the framework for worship and the Word, and do the things that we do here. And he could be at any big church that he wanted to be, and we're just thankful you're here. Thank you very much. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, just to orient ourselves, if we're in the Spirit, kind of shift gears now. A lot of things going on in your life, but we've settled down, made your way to get here to worship God. So let's get into that time, that mindset of worshiping God. And that's what we're here for, clearing out the mind of the thoughts and things that we got to do and troubles and happinesses and all the rest of it, and set it aside for the most important event now of worshiping Him. I remember when I was in Dallas Seminary, Dr. Kenneth Barker, who was one of the workers on the New American Standard, head of the Hebrew department for a period of time that I was at Dallas, brilliant man. He was brilliant in the cognate languages, like I took from him, Ugaritic. Very few people know Ugaritic. Very few people want to know Ugaritic. But took that from him. And Aramaic, Chaldean, Aramaic, and for Esther. And which we need to do. We haven't done Esther. It's not written in the Semitic Hebrew. So we need to take a look at that. But I remember one of the lectures, as we went into the upper level, the junior and senior year, got into just discussions about pastors and time. And Dr. Barker was talking, and men asked different questions, and it came up about marriage and family and wife and family. And what Dr. Barker said was, I thought, very interesting to married men, a good challenge. He said, "You've got to realize, gentlemen, that your time in the Bible, your time with your wife, and if and when you have children, your time with your children, it's not so much a matter of the time, it's a matter of giving it your full attention, giving it 100%. If you study, shut the door, close off the world, and study. If you're with your wife, take the phone off, enjoy her. And be with her. Exploit that time with her. And when you're with your children, don't just do it while you're doing five other things. You've got to learn, gentlemen, to whatever you do, just set aside other things and do that. So we're setting aside time now to worship God. That's what we're doing. Everything we're going to be doing: prayer, song, giving, studying Scripture, interacting, worshiping Him. That's what we're here for. So let's just kind of set aside all of the other things in our lives right now, and bills and thoughts and funds and anticipations, and we're here to worship Him. Let's pray. And it is a pleasure. It is a joy to have the opportunity to worship You, to praise You, Heavenly Father. Praise You in the morning. How wonderful it would be if we lived in that small little community where every morning we could assemble for a few minutes together and just worship You before going to the day's task. But we live in such a complicated, complex world. So, Heavenly Father, we've come together this morning, and we worship You together this morning. We praise You in the morning together. Certainly, we do these things, Heavenly Father, when we are on our own, but how wonderful it is to do it in the assembly. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You. In the name of Your Son, we pray these things. Amen. And let's start off with song. stand one time, and then we'll stand and sing together. Let's get kind of familiar with the words and the hymn and the tune.
Okay.
And then we'll stand and sing. We'll feel a little more familiar with it. Let's stand and sing 507. Had a wonderful, wonderful week in so many respects in Tucson with John and Judy and family and the church, and many of them send their greetings. Very thankful for the interaction of both of our churches. Several of them have at various times been here and visited with us, and probably be touching on different things as I go through them. It was kind of interesting. I don't own a dog. I did when I was a child. I love dogs. And John has a dog. In fact, he has two dogs. He has a big Mastiff. That the bigger Mastiff is about the back, not the head. The back is about this high. The head comes up to about here. Weighs about 200 pounds. Just the head is awesome. And has another Mastiff that if you just saw that one, you'd think that's a big dog until you saw the Lance. But Fidelis, who's about 10 years old now and getting older, but every year when I get there, what we do every morning, get up about 5:30, and it's real cool in Tucson at 5:30 in the morning, and as opposed to about 10. But we walking to get me a paper, but we take about a 30-minute walk. And I mean, as soon as that dog saw me, the tail starts going and jumping up and down and having more fun, and slept at my door all night. And I would get up at night and have to go to the bathroom, and I almost stepped on him because I didn't realize he was right there. It was dark, and I almost stepped on the poor guy. And but in the mornings when I wake up and she sees the light on, she knows we're getting ready because I'm getting dressed. And you can hear her. She wakes up the whole house with her of a small hall, and her tail hits both sides. Boom, 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 boom. And So we take our walk, and they also have a it used to be a nice little potbelly pig, but Wilbur now, Wilbur is a big pig, and Wilbur used to have access to the house, but not anymore. And I could tell you funny stories about Wilbur. He's really funny, and he gets mad. I didn't know pigs had personalities, but Wilbur has a personality. When you make him mad, they used to have his water, a little water pan in the pantry room where the two dogs' water bowl is. And when you'd make Wilbur mad, this pig, he'd just go right in there. He would take his water dish, take it in his big old lawn, and throw it up in the air, throw the water all over the floor, and then just stand there and look at you, go, I mean, just, it was, I could not believe. I mean, just walk right in there, took it, and threw it up, and then looked at you. Like, now, what do you think of that? And, just all kinds of things, and, the family, and, John's house is just constant. It's just constant people coming, and children and grandchildren, and it was just amazing all that went there. And then of course on the spiritual side, wonderful attendance every night, wonderful response. We did some things on the 3 days of Job, and what I have on the board behind me here, we talked about the Rieslings, and I want to talk to you about them, the family and the ministries. Bring this down where you'll be able to see it, and I'm going to get you a book that you can see. This is really the ministry of Tucson Bible Church, and as far as missions is concerned, and they're like us, don't have a lot of money, but what they did was that they, now's when I need a pointer, but what they did, they worked with this this family, and this is just an amazing family right here. Of children, one of the girls, the little girl was I think like 13. She'd walk into a little Mexican village, and people don't even think you know what poverty is. Don't even think if you drive through parts of Dallas and it's poor that's poverty. We're talking where you've got huts with just maybe 10. Maybe cardboard up on this and a curtain door and two families living there. And hardly big enough for anything. And this family goes into these villages. You just can't believe their heart. They go into the villages and, what they do is they print. The wife writes, very simple Bible lessons. Especially in my older days, hard nose and wrong when I was wrong, but this stuff's too simple. I don't do that. We need to teach them doctrine. And these are very simple little lessons, and you fill it in, and they love that. They love that. You take a passage, things that we just read, and then you have to fill it in. And just if just for the simplicity of it, John 3:16, and you say, now who does God love? And oh, then they have to look, and they write in the word world. And the more they do that, the more it penetrates into their brain. The American Bible Society has put together a Bible. It is a regular Bible. But it's not Spanish, it's not Mexican, because they would not be able to read it in a lot of these little villages. Ray Bailey, you just give your heart for this. I mean, you go for this guy. He's got such a great, wonderful heart. This is Mexico, and right in this little area is this that we're talking about, right here, and Tucson's just above it, and so he made me this map. He made one for their church. Now theirs is in color. What we have going on here in all these places, all of the dots are where this family have gone in, and they have Bible classes going with these people. and they have they teach them. And what John's church is doing, they've and we had a lot of fun talking. We met at a morning breakfast, and the men did, and they get together and they'll print these lessons, thousands of them. And we talked about getting printers and things like that that they use, and ink. And then Larry and John, whom you have met, they've been here once or twice, they will drive. Now, they don't go way up into the northern part, way up there, but or actually be the southern part. But they'll just hit some of the highlight, closer places. The Rieslings go on into other places. And they take these stocks of this material, very simple lessons, very simply written Bible, in the language, like I said, it's not really a Mexican. Those of you that know about the New Testament Greek, the New Testament Greek is what we call Koine or common. It's not a Greek. It's not a nice Greek. It is a common Greek. It is spoke throughout what Alexander the Great did. When Alexander the Great was conquering the world, he wanted to be able to communicate with every country as he moved toward the eastward. And as he would come down into Turkey, and he would come down into what you and I would call the Near East, and then went over to the Far East, he wanted to be able to communicate. So he developed what is called Koine, or Common Greek. And it's just, that's what the Bible's written in. The Bible's not written in some fancy, classical, Doric Greek. It is written in Koine, Common Greek. And so that everyone can understand it. And that's the language. It is a derivation of Spanish from Mexican, but it is a derivation, and they can read that. And they go in where no one else goes. And why does no one else go? Because there's no money, people. You don't find the denominations and the charismatics and all these other people everywhere that you see these dots, because there's no money. They're poor. And the Rieslings on their own go into each of the whole life is going circling, making that circuit. And they go in, and the people just come from everywhere to listen to the teaching. And then he has developed a few people in a lot of these areas where you see the dots that are teachers, people of that land, people of the native people there. And they will study, and then they will teach the people. And he showed, I'll bring you a little booklet and show you a picture. There's a wonderful picture of this older man, and not old, but this old man. And he's sitting, and he's reading the Bible. The man can't read, but he knows there's something valuable about that book. And he just loves having it. He just loves having that book. Now, in days gone by, I'd have gone, well, big deal. Take it away from me and give it to somebody else. Now, that is unbelievable. And he's there every time that anyone will talk on the Bible and wants to know about it. And the daughter is going to med school, and she's just going to go back. What she's going to do in these poor villages, people were talking poor. Just go back and be the doctor and just make all those circuits and teach. And that's what she wants to do with her life. Just not even charge. Just go in and be the doctor all the way up around. And go. They don't go into cities where all the charismatics and the big denominations and everybody else is going because they can make money. They're going to these little bitty places. And these little, well, I call them villages. I don't know what the correct designation would be. They're certainly not cities, and they're certainly not towns. And but there are thousands of people, and they come from all around out there. They'll walk in and spend the time when they know that if either the Rieslings or someone from John's church is going to be speaking there. And they cross the Mexican border, and it's very interesting in crossing from Tucson, coming down and crossing the border into here. So far, they've not had, they did it first, but now they kind of, all of the different shifts know them. And if they carry for an example, if they carry food, clothing, which they do, what they have to do, they don't just, you know, you think, okay, let's get all the food and get in a box. No, they just scatter it all over, and their clothes all over. And they'll look in there, and they'll think that's their food. They'll think that's their clothing. Because if they were to bring it in and to distribute, that they wouldn't be allowed to do that. And it'd get into a lot of trouble with the government and all the rest of it. And Larry, I don't know if you remember him, but he's about my height, and he's a great little guy. And Larry said if they ever looked in my clothing suitcase, they'd probably want to know why I wear dresses. And because he would have dresses in there to take. But they go in, and it's just a little ministry that John's church has gotten into. And one of the ladies in the church, wonderful little gal, every now and then there'll be a need, and she'll just she'll have a cake sale, she'll have a big church garage, so she'll have something, and she's raised over $12,000 in these little sales and things that she does. And when there's various needs that either the Wesleys have, maybe something with their automobile or with their vehicle or medicine or just something that needs to be done. And they just function. They are not on with a board. There's no board that controls them. And they just, what they do, this whole family, what they will do is their budget is whatever comes in that month. They divide it up equally among everybody. And that's what they live on, and then they just move on to the next month, and it is just a wonderful little type of ministry, and our offerings are down. I don't know why they're down. Our attendance is down. I don't know why our attendance is down. I don't know why people don't come on Tuesday, Wednesday here, and even on Sunday. Look how few are here. I feel like Gaius Julius Caesar came to a small raging sea. He was on a movement of war, and there was a storm in the sea. He had to cross the sea. And his commanders came to him and said, let's wait till the storm settles, and then we'll cross the sea. And Caesar said, a very famous statement, he said, it is not necessary that I live. But if I'm alive tomorrow morning, I've got to be on the other side of the sea. And so they took a cross and went across. Now, we can talk about the wisdom of going across, but the concept. So I don't know what God is going to do financially. But if there's no objection, we can call this a congregational meeting. I'd like to start off. We're going to send $50 a month. That isn't much. But you can't believe how far $50 will go in a case like this. And so we're just going to start off right away and just send $50 a month, and then see what happens after that respect. I figure I had a wonderful time with John, but we didn't get into this kind of thing. This happened in the plane, and then get home and all. I figure I could die today. That's great. If I do go home to the Lord today, that's wonderful. But if everything remained constant, I probably got 20, 25 good years. I read the paper this morning. Billy Graham probably is farming his last crusade. And that's just the way of man. It is to people like me that have appreciated Billy Graham. That's a little disheartening. And you see that and you go, ooh. But he's planning his last crusade. And so the time will come. And we're just going to make things more valuable as far as the study of Scripture. I'd love to add classes, but I only get a few on Tuesday, Wednesday as it is. I don't know why. Maybe y'all do. If you do, let me know why we have so few here on Sunday, why we have so few on Tuesday and Wednesday night. And if you know why, maybe everyone's broke right now. Maybe you don't see a need right now. I don't know why offerings are down. I don't know why attendance is down. Maybe I'm not teaching what you want. But I just know that as far as I'm concerned, studying Isaiah, before I left. That's what I was working on, and that's where we'll continue this morning. Then this week, and just listening to different things about all of these things going on, got to take value of the 20 or 25, 30 years, whatever I have, that God may give. Give me, my grandfather lived about 97, my mother 93, but I don't know. None of us know. Die today. But I want to exploit the days that are left in so many different ways. And one of them is, if we run out of money, we run out of, like Caesar said, it doesn't matter if I'm alive tomorrow or not. If I'm alive, it's got to be across the sea. As long as we have money, we need to start doing some things like this. And I don't know what he's going to do about us having a place to meet. We pay them for the utilities here. It's coming out. I wish Jim was here. He called and told me he wasn't going to be able to be here. Got something going on, and Jerry and Leslie had a major little deal. It's major to them. Their dog of, 10 years? Longer? 12 years. And kind of maybe go down this morning. So different things happen, but we just need to take some money and give to them. I don't know. We spent about $500. We give them about $500 for the utilities to meet here, which isn't much for having what we got and a place to meet. And but we've got to find somewhere to meet that more like a home, and get some things settled, and start doing some teaching with children, and just do a few things that need to be done if we are an assembly. And so if there's no objection, we're just going to start, and I'll talk with Jim, and we'll just start once a month at the right now, just start off with 50. And I told John, when we hear about if they have a major need, what John does, if there's a major need, he just takes an offering, and then there's an extra offering for the missionary or for whatever that need is. So if we if I hear that, we'll do that. And but I'll bring you a little book so that you can see what's going on, because it really is powerful. The places where you see the cross are the places where John's church has gone in and worked with the Rieslings. And that's the place that you see the cross. Church and Bible study by the Rieslings. Well, let's see. Now, their church had church and study by the Tucson Bible Church as cross. And so I forgot what the distinction was. I didn't forget. On theirs, it's colored. And where there are red crosses, that's the Rieslings. Where there are blue crosses, that was Tucson Bible Church. Well, this one's not colored, so I don't know which is which, but I'll get that for you. But had a wonderful time in that respect, and we do want to support a man with that kind of hope and attitude in regard to these people in Mexico. And the type of people that no one else will go to. Indeed, the type of people for whom Christ came. He came for the poor. Poor in spirit. He came for those who are in need. He's called the great physician. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Praise before the world? No. Nope. Not going to get any praise for going into these little villages. But somebody else has taken note of what's going on. And that's the one that we serve. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory. A few moments in preparation for it. And the offertory is, of course, for believers only. Believers empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. In the study of Isaiah, you ask the question, whom shall we send to communicate the message? A man was there named Isaiah, and he said, send me. Our prayer this morning, Heavenly Father, as we go into the offertory, is that you will continue to use us. We do not propose to tell you how. We would not be so arrogant. We simply ask that you do use us. We're so thankful, Father, that you do use us, and we thank you and praise you on the internet. How wonderful it is to hear of people listening on the internet that I didn't even know were listening. And we're very thankful for that opportunity and that ministry. We're thankful for those who are responsible for getting us on the internet, taking care of that. For publications, for assembling right here in the various homes and families that are affected by the teaching, the disc, the tapes, the outreach. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to know the truth. We want to study Scripture. That's why we're a Bible church. But the understanding and the learning always has a goal and an objective. And that's in our Christian life. It's not just to gather up intellectual information. It's that, Heavenly Father, we might serve you. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will use them to bring honor and glory to your Savior, to your Son, to the one that you've sent to us. And use us in that way, Heavenly Father. So we pray that you will see these offerings, continue to allow us the opportunity to spread the gospel to both unbeliever and believer, right here in our own community, wherever you send us, whatever doors you open for us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's open the scriptures to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. Last week we had a wonderful service. It was rather brief, and I had to dart out of here, and I'm sorry about that. Got to the airport about 12:15, 12:20, Steve. Ended up considering airports and airplanes. I was in them for 12 hours that Sunday, so. Huh? Yeah. Well, for a two-hour flight, exactly, from here to Tucson, yeah. For a two-hour flight, it's 11 hours. And, I'm not going to do that anymore. I told Steve when he picked me up, I said, Steve, I may lose out in life and I may lose some nice things, but the next time someone comes up to me and their opening statement is, I got a deal for you, I'm saying, I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear about your deal. And I said, I'll probably miss some good stuff along with Steve. Well, you don't want to go that. Yes, I am. I'm going that far. Come up and just tell me what the straight, right out price is. Don't give me a deal. Deals just don't work too often. So, let's start looking at John, the Gospel of John. In the ministry of Christ, we're getting close to the crucifixion of our Savior and the intensity going on in Israel, and that we can see what's going on and why he appeals to Isaiah. The use of the Old Testament and the New Testament is exciting. It is important. It gives unbelievable credibility to a lot of things going on in both the Old and the New Testament. When the New Testament is quoted, the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament, especially when it's quoted by Christ, but by Paul or Peter or anyone who does. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the understanding of this whole book, because it all flows together. Let's pray. Thank you for this book, Heavenly Father. Thank you that we have it. Thank you for your ministry of your Spirit to open our eyes to it. Pray.